Today's gospel reading is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. The first 18 verses of John's gospel. John, John is the fourth gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth book of the New Testament. And it's a good one. All of them are good. I shouldn't say relative to the others, but it's typically a place where we send people who have never read the Bible before. If they've not read any of the Bible, or if you have a friend who's never read any of the Bible, usually I'll recommend, or someone will recommend, start with John, because it sets things very clearly and plainly. And these opening verses of John's Gospel set the stage for the story of Jesus. John 1, the first 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.'" From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O Lord our God, we give you thanks for this word and how the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Make your dwelling among us yet again through the presence of your Spirit as we reflect on these words together. And bless us all in the name of Christ our Lord, the Word of God, in whose name we pray. Amen. There is tremendous power in the spoken word. Have you ever had a friend say something to you at just the right moment, an encouraging word that came just exactly when you needed it? There is tremendous power in the spoken word. Have you ever received a piece of news that was unexpected but good and brought you new life or a new sense of hope? Something that you hadn't expected to hear, maybe a sickness that had gone away, or a recovery of someone, or a friend who had not made contact with you and made contact to let you know something important going on in his or her life. There is tremendous power in the spoken word. The word can bring life. The word can bring hope. The word can bring healing. The words that we say to each other are incredibly important for all of those reasons and many more. When God speaks, it is a tremendous thing. When God speaks, things change. Life is created. Hope is born. when the Word of God comes into our lives are transformed. This is what John's Gospel is all about. The reason that we send people to read John first before, you know, Ezekiel or something more complicated like Revelation or something really short like Obadiah that you blink and you're done. The reason we get to John first is because John introduces us to the Word of God, namely Jesus Christ. This book, more than any of the others, so clearly elucidates for us who Jesus is and sets before us the Son of God, the Word of God, the Word become flesh, the one who lived among us, the one who made all things and then came to dwell among us, the one whom we did not recognize at first. This is the Word of God that John sets before us. Word is the key word there. It's not the action of God. It's not the feelings of God. It's not the thoughts of God. It's not the writings of God. It's the Word of God. Something spoken into the world to transform and to bring new life. God's Word has tremendous power to create. The beginning of this Gospel, according to John, has three key words that may have rung a bell for you. In the beginning. That's how John begins his Gospel, and he does it on purpose because those three words are copied exactly from the beginning of the Old Testament. The beginning of the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, has those same words, in the beginning. And in that beginning, the story of God's creation of the world, there was something very important that took place according to God's spoken word. The first thing that God created with his spoken word, do you remember? The first words God said were, "Let there be light." God created light where there was no light through the power of his spoken word. And here we are, in John's Gospel, hearing the Word of God bringing light to every person. John does this really very much on purpose, because in Genesis, God was so much interested in creating the world and then creating humankind to inhabit it. The more I study Genesis, the more I'm convinced that Genesis is really all about God creating a people for himself and creating a people with whom he can be in relationship. From beginning to end, or from end to beginning, as we're going to study it in our Sunday evening series, Genesis in reverse. We're going to look at the end of Genesis and dial back through the weeks to the beginning, about five chapters at a time. So we'll get through it before Easter comes. There's a plan for all this. Hopefully we'll stick to it. As we go through Genesis from back to front, we're going to find that God is so interested in a covenant relationship with his people, drawing his people into himself and being one with them, having relationship with them. That's what the creation story is about. When God creates the universe, he's not just creating material things. He's not just creating the universe. So what if God creates a universe? The point is what happens on the last day of creation. The sixth day of creation, when God says, again with his spoken word, "Now let us make man in our own image." The pinnacle of creation. Those that are made in the image of God to have souls, to have things that persist beyond the grave, to have consciousness and a conscience, and to have life in them, like God does. "Let us make people in our own image," God said. And so it was, and it was very good. There's an order to creation in Genesis. The material world is created first, and then God breathes life into those who are made in his image. Physical first, and then spiritual second. When John tells the story of creation, the Gospel of John, telling the story of how the Word of God created, he does it in a different way. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, the one about whom this whole Gospel is concerned, this one who came into his own creation, lived among us. The one who created everything took up residence in our universe. Why did he do this? John answers the question by saying, he came to bring grace and truth into our lives. Twice he says it. Grace and truth he brought. He came to bring us rebirth. He came to bring us new life so that we might be born of God. This becomes a really important theme really quickly in John's gospel. There's a fellow named Nicodemus who shows up a couple of chapters down the road who says, "What must I do?" He says to Jesus, "What do I have to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "You just have to be born again." Born? Born again? How can I enter into my mother's womb and be born again? Surely you don't mean something physical. And Jesus says, "Of course not. I don't mean something physical. I mean something spiritual." And this is what John's getting at the beginning of the whole gospel. He's telling the story of God's recreation. Not the story of creation from Genesis. That's already happened. But the story of what God is doing now to recreate his people. It begins with spiritual rebirth. It begins with being born of God, not born of human descent. All of us have already been there. But being born of God, reborn inwardly, internally, through grace and truth that the Word of God brings. And then, once the spiritual rebirth has happened, then a physical rebirth can happen as well. Then there will be water turned into wine at the wedding in Cana. Then there will be loaves and fishes in abundance at the hillside where thousands have gathered to hear Jesus preach. Then there will be healing of those who are sick, lepers who are cleansed, those who have been possessed by demons set free from what has oppressed them. Then there will be Lazarus. Lazarus, who has died, 4 days has died, coming out of the tomb after he hears the spoken word from the Word of God. "Come out, Lazarus." Spiritual rebirth precedes physical rebirth in the gospel order of things. God is in the business of recreating the world by bringing his people into the true light, giving them life, grace, and truth through the Word made flesh. It begins inwardly and has manifestations outwardly after the spiritual rebirth has taken place. The light shines in the darkness. John is very clear to say it in the present tense. It's not that the light shined when Jesus showed up. It's not, you know, the star in Bethlehem or anything like that. The light continues to shine in the darkness. But the darkness has not understood it. The darkness has not comprehended it. The darkness has not conquered it, even. Different ways to translate the same word. The darkness has not overcome the light. Why do we still choose to live in darkness when there is light shining in the world? Why do we choose to miss the true light? We all have missed the true light. We all have chosen to live in darkness at some point in our lives. This is a choice that we can make. We can choose to live apart from the Lord. We can choose to live in isolation from him. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have been there. And perhaps some of us are there even now. Why do we choose to stay where there is darkness? There is good news at hand, friends. Our God, who is in the business of recreating his people, is in the business of drawing us home. Our God is all about bringing us into relationship with himself. Every time we go astray, God is there to bring us home again. This is the story throughout Genesis. When the people stray from God, he brings them home. And throughout all of the Old Testament, when the Israelites wander through the desert and stray from God by serving other gods, he brings them home. and when they worry where their food is going to come from and why there is no good water to drink, he brings them home. And when he finally sets them up in their homeland, and then they start worshiping other gods again, and other nations come and conquer them and take them away, God brings them home. And when Jesus comes and proclaims the kingdom of God is at hand, so repent and believe the good news, and people are sinning in their lives, and he says to them, repent, and they do, he brings them home. God is always about bringing his people home, over and over and over again. This is the good news. And this is why it's so important that Jeremy read for us from his namesake, Jeremiah 31, that God brings his people home. That was the theme. Look it up again. Read it again sometime this week. Jeremiah 31, a great throng will return. God will bring his people back. They will pray while he brings them back home again. He will gather his people, and he will watch over them like a shepherd. The shepherd keeps us safe. The shepherd watches over us and makes sure we don't stray from the path. The shepherd is with us every step of the way. How important it is for us to believe in the Word of God. The Word of God became flesh. Grace and truth came to us through Jesus Christ. God has been revealed to humankind. Being born of God gives us a new beginning, a fresh start. We can live in the true light, no longer living in the darkness. There are many reasons that we might choose to stay in the darkness. And for each of us, what is darkness looks probably a little differently than person sitting next to you. But it's a conscious thing that we can choose to do. Darkness is always knocking at the door, but the good news of the gospel is that the darkness has not overcome the light. The darkness cannot overcome the light. You know the illustration. If we were to turn off all the lights and somehow block out all the natural sunlight and just light one match, there would be enough light, if our eyes would have enough time to adjust, that we would be able to see well enough. One match can make all the difference in an incredibly dark place. Darkness cannot overcome the light. The Word of God comes into the world to bring light and life to all who would believe, to all who would hear the Word. Whatever the time is in your life, whatever the darkness is in your life, I am convinced that in Christ, all of our moments can be filled with true light, no matter how dark the world may seem. Many of you know, and if you were here last Sunday, I mentioned that my uncle Mike Dennison was very, very ill. It turned out that he passed away that afternoon, in fact, last Sunday afternoon. And the funeral was in Cambridge, Ohio, southeast Ohio, 2 days ago, Friday. Tara and I braved Winter Storm Hercules. Why do we name things? I don't know. But we made it there and back, and everything was just fine. It was a wonderful funeral service. The whole family was there. We gathered and we sang songs together. The service was full of singing and music and scripture and good reflections on this life that was well lived. A rather dark time. I mean, it's a sad thing when a loved one passes away. At the committal service at the cemetery. As is typical, there was a church funeral service and then a separate thing at the cemetery right after. At the committal service, a very brief thing, the pastor got up and read scripture and gave a few thoughts and prayed, and it was very short, as is normal. After that service was completed, just as we were sitting there in the little chapel area, my uncle's brother, he's on the other side of the family, so Steve is not a relative of mine, but we know each other. Steve Denniston is a music minister at a Church of God congregation in Frankfort, Indiana. He's part of the family, and it's a Church of God family, and we all know the same songs, you know. As soon as the service was done, there was just a half second of silence, and then Steve, sitting in front of me, started singing, and we all joined. Praise the Lord, my heart with his love is beaming. You know it? I am a child of God. Heaven's golden light over me is streaming. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I have washed my robes in the cleansing fountain. I am a child of God. And then we left. It was simple and it was beautiful. To all who received him, John says, to all who believed in his name, he, the Word of God, gave the right to become children of God. One of the most fundamental truths that we have in Scripture is that we are children of God, and that makes a tremendous difference in our lives. No matter what the darkness is that you are facing in your life, all of our moments can be filled with true light, because light conquers darkness. We are not locked in a struggle between good and evil in which we do not know the outcome. The light has conquered the darkness. The light shines in the darkness. And we as children of God can rejoice in that great truth. There is tremendous power in the word of the Lord. There is tremendous power in the light that he brings. So my challenge for you this week is to listen for that word, to move toward the light, to watch for the light in your life, and to share the light of Christ with those around you who may still be living in a great deal of darkness, because you just don't know until you ask how dark somebody's world is. Share the light, because it is a gift that is too good to hold on to ourselves. There is tremendous power to overcome everything that we face. So be encouraged this day by the hearing of the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Oh, yes. That's okay, Vivian. Please do. Asher, there we go. The little boy who's got kidney trouble. You can now put a name to your prayers. Thank you. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we give you thanks this day for your word which lives in us and which speaks truth into our world. Give us eyes to see your light and ears to hear your word as you speak to us. And I pray, Lord, for all of these who have gathered here today to hear your word and to worship you in spirit and in truth, that you would open our eyes to see what you are doing in our lives, and that we would believe in you and commit ourselves to following you. We each are at different points in our spiritual journeys, in our journeys of being reborn inwardly. And Lord, I pray that we would make progress in that journey. Perhaps there's some here who have not been reborn inwardly yet. I pray, Lord, that that might happen through believing in your word. And for those of us who are infants or toddlers or teenagers or even older in our spiritual walks, I pray, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself, that you would bring us home again, that you would remind us of your great love for us and teach us your great truths. We rely on your grace and on your truth in all circumstances, and we rejoice in the light that you have brought into the world. We thank you for your tender mercies and your love which knows no end, and we ask for your continued presence in our lives in the days that lie ahead. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray these things. Amen.